This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, Barton Hahn. What hour is this, Bart Scott?
The power hour.
Oh, we got the big man, too. You know, like sometimes in wrestling, where they would have, like, the third guy that really wasn't part of the tag team, but he came in and you kind of link up, like, the mega powers when Hulk Hogan got with, oh, yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage. You know what I'm saying? This is, like, how I feel when, like, Chris Candy come in. It's like, well, we got beef and we need to get some great insight. We need to be able to really dive into the local teams. You call Chris and you link up superpowers. And I guess we can go ahead and bring Bull over here too. He'll be the guy we just, you know what I'm saying? He's like the Bushwhackers. Hey! He do like a Bushwhacker. You know he look like Luke and Butch, man. Come on, man. But it's all good. But Chris Candy comes in and he's like, not Aileen Gonzalez, but he's like the big man that comes in with the choke slam. You know what I'm saying? It was never really big dude. Maybe I can't call him a Doolittle the Butcher because I don't want him to think I'm trying to be funny. I'm trying to, I got it.
What do you got?
Chris is JYD. You know what I'm saying? He's a junkyard dog. Big Daddy Ritter. Big Daddy Ritter. You know what I'm saying? I love when Creasy comes in, man.
With that intro, Chris Candy joins us as he does each week on the Good Year Luke
Island. And Bush.
Candy and Golic Jr.
That's Golic.
I was thinking Booker T, Bart, but I'm glad you gave me the junkyard dog. I mean, who didn't like the junkyard dog back in the day?
Everybody loved junkyard dog. Big Daddy Ritter took over for a while, man. Another one bites the dust, man. The little kids come in. He was commercial. They had the cartoon. Everything Creasy. That's how I see it. And really why I did it because of the beard game. You know what I'm saying? The beard game was on point. Booker T was, you know, clean shaven. You know, Big Daddy Ritter had the nice little lineup right there.
Yeah, I'm a little more grimy than Booker T was. I appreciate that.
All right, before we get into our conversation, I do want to just get to some business here. By the way, it is Barton Hahn, Alan, Bart Scott, joined by Chris Candy. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And in that last segment, you know, Bart and I talked about the Monday night football game between the Raiders and the Chargers. Can the Raiders stay perfect? That, by the way, was brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. And the reason why I had to do that read right now, Chris, is because Bart and I got caught up in this debate that maybe you could help us with since you're...
Well, you're wrong, Alan. Wow. You're wrong. Okay, I mean, so 90s hip-hop and R&B is old school. Damn. That's throwback. Like, you're wrong on that one.
You got to accept it, bro.
You're talking about 30 years ago, man. That's three decades, bro. I know it seems like it was yesterday for you, but you're dangerously close to sounding like that guy that's screaming, get off my lawn.
Oh, don't do that.
Like, that's where you're at right now.
So, Alan, you were born in the 70s, right?
I was.
Right, so imagine your parents come to you talking about some stuff that they played in the 50s, talking about this ain't old school, this new school, in the 50s.
That Frankie Lyman, boy.
You got the Frankie Lyman.
They play Frankie Lyman.
Like, no, this is new. This
you
ain't new.
You guys are wrong right now. You're just wrong for doing that. Bringing doo-wop into this thing, man. Come on.
Perfect example, man. Bart Scott 1, Alan Hahn 0.
You are comparing now 80s. I mean, you're talking about.
Yo, when you heard
Johnny Kane is like.
Just take the L, Al. Take the L. You lost this one. Oh, man, you might win some, but you just lost one, bro.
No,
it's okay.
I did. And the tweets are also telling me you guys are right. I'm not feeling comfortable.
You got to accept
right
it, man.
This.
Welcome to the
middle. I will.
You're
I
in
will
season
accept.
Three of your life, man. It's four seasons. You're in season three, bro.
He's in the Why second half.
It's the third quarter.
You're putting a clock on me now?
You better hope you get overtime.
Well, the Jets and Giants got overtime, Bart. So maybe now might be
on Chris. Oh, Chris, look at the transition. That's why we bring Big Daddy Ritter, aka Junkyard Dog, over here, man.
He grabbed the wheel and said, "Since you guys can't get this thing on track, maybe
you're out of control. Bart's out of control. This whole party's out of control."
Right. So let's get to it. All right, Chris. So I mean, there's a lot obviously in Week 4 to get to, but I mean, especially what you mentioned. Both New York teams winning their first win of the season in overtime. It's never happened before. And both of them showed us something. But I got to feel like the Giant win got my attention a lot more than the Jet win did because Danny Dimes still more and more just looking like a stud. And Saquon Barkley showed up for the party. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Daniel Jones had one of his best games as a pro, right? Like, this is the first time we're talking about him being – you know, a prolific passer against a team not named the Washington football team. And I was impressed with his command of the offense, being able to spray the ball around to all his different receivers. And the one thing that I think is a little understated in all of this is that he didn't have Darius Slayton or Sterling Shepard. And he found a way to be able to get John Ross involved. Obviously, that big ball right before halftime, being able to get the Giants on the board in that way. Just his ability to be able to move the Giants up and down the field. I thought that was really, really impressive. And then that two-minute drive at the end of regulation, being able to set up the Graham Gano 48-yard field goal to tie it and to push it into overtime. And then just the drive that he put together in OT. Mm-hmm. I thought Daniel Jones played a really good game. He avoided the big mistake. The interception that he had was right before halftime, a Hail Mary. I mean, that's not going to kill you. So I thought he played a really good game. He stayed within himself. He was able to extend the down when he needed to. And his receivers came up and made big-time plays when he got him to football. So I thought he did a great job in his performance, and it's able to couple that with a Giants win. So it's an all-around good day for him.
All right, Chris Kenny, it's Overreaction Monday, so here's my overreaction to that game. Daniel Jones is the Giants' best player.
I tell you, Alan, through the first four games of the season, that's not an overreaction. I mean, Daniel Jones has played really, really well. I know that kind of gets lost in the record, and there are a lot of different things that folks want to point to, but the only turnover that he had that really hurt this Giants team was the one that he had against Denver when they're driving the ball right in plus territory and he has that scramble and he fumbles. But, I mean, other than that, he's done a good job of protecting the football, and he's used his legs to be able to, you know, extend the downs and convert for first downs when he's got to take off and run. And then you see the arm talent on display as well. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but it's good enough, and he can push the ball downfield, and he can get the ball to the receivers in their spots where they can do special things with it. So there's a lot to like with Daniel Jones. I think one of the biggest takeaways from yesterday's game was the offensive line holding up against that Saints front enough to be able to give Daniel Jones the opportunity to pass for 400 yards. So you got to give a shout-out to those guys up front, because they've been under fire for the last couple of years, and it feels like that group, Andrew Thomas included, is kind of turning the corner and starting to steady in terms of their performance.
Tell you what, man, I just can't believe that Daniel Jones is 6'5 and his hands are 9 3/4, man. Like, what the hell? Like,
how's
that even
his hands?
Where,
even
why possible? Do you have this obsession with this man's hands for, yeah, Bart?
Because he has so many turnovers, because he has them junior wiper hands, man.
What do you got going on, bro?
I need to see it. I hope he talked to Jameis Winston, right, and got some advice, because Jameis Winston at one point was the man that always turned the ball over. And you see the drills of him holding on to the ball with two hands, smacking the ball, and that pass that he threw against New England last week was an example of the hard work that he put in, making sure that he always has two hands on him. And if Junior Wiper Hands does that, and he can cut down the turnovers, I think he can be elite. I said before,
yes,
if you look at his numbers, I said his numbers is pretty similar to what Josh Allen's numbers were until he got Stephon Diggs. Now, the issue is, who's Stephon Diggs? And Kenny Galladay was taking a lot of heat and criticism last week, but he showed up yesterday and showed out. So is this something that can be a launching pad to maybe somebody getting some synergy and being able to live up to the expectations?
Well, I think the other receivers stepping up is what's going to create opportunities for Kenny Galladay, right? Because if you're the opposing defense, you got number 19 circled. Like, we got to make sure that we stop this guy. We don't let him get going. But yesterday, Kadarius Toney came to the party in a big way. John Ross stepped up in a big way. And I think that afforded Kenny Galladay some opportunities to kind of work those short and intermediate zones. Like, I thought Daniel Jones did a great job of finding him on those dig routes right behind the second-level defenders for the Saints. I mean, he put it on his receiver, but credit Kenny Galladay for being able to get open and present a target for his quarterback. So I think as this thing progresses and as more guys get involved in the passing game, you'll start to see Kenny Galladay emerge as that dominant number one receiver. Like, I know a lot of folks are like, the Giants paid him a lot of money. Why isn't he showing up? Well, the reason he's not showing up is because opposing defenses are making it a point to take him out of the game. But you saw yesterday when those other guys stepped up, you saw Kadarius Toney on that 3rd and 18 being able to convert on a short pass for a first down. Like, when those guys are showing up and present threats to the opposing defense, that creates more one-on-one opportunities for KG, and you know he knows what to do with those. So I look for him to become more and more of a factor in this passing game as the season unfolds.
All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, by the way, to get the calls rolling here on the Jets and also the Giants, as we're talking about them right now. The two New York teams finally getting their first wins in the same – basically at the same time, like minutes apart, two of them winning in overtime and getting it done. And again, for the Jets now, Chris, as we're talking with Chris Canty,
I need to towel off, man. I feel dirty after that game.
Yeah,
I'm exhausted.
That's the thing. I was in a glass case of emotion. Let's leave it like that. If you look at my Twitter feed during the game, I'm all over the place, because I feel like, first of all, they had their first lead of the season, and here I am, an idiot, like, just finally We have a lead. Like, you know, and then the kids, the quarterback is starting to show you that arm talent that was teased all throughout the pro season and the pro day season, and also obviously the draft and even preseason. Like, there's something there, and all these experts were telling us about it. But there's been a lot of ugly moments with him, so you just cringe every time he throws the ball thinking, is it going to the wrong team? Somebody usually catches the ball. It just might happen to be someone on the other team. But this time around, though, he made some spectacular plays. But I keep coming away
none
with
on
it.
Purpose.
I keep coming away with this feeling of that game was a lot harder to win than it needed to be. Right, Chris? So is this a progress win, or is this one of those take the win, don't apologize, but they still have a lot of work to do?
No, they have a lot of work to do, Alan. But, I mean, you take your wins when you can get them. It's not easy to get W's in this league. And yesterday, I thought the Jets defense fought their tails off to keep that team in that game. And as it stayed close, as we got late into the third quarter, I saw that Jets offense start to get a little more confidence. And it started with, you know, Zach Wilson throwing that YOLO ball to Keelan Cole. And when you got the results that you're looking for when you complete that pass, you could just see, like, okay, it started to get that swagger in Zach Wilson going. You started seeing him escaping the pocket, being able to scramble, get out on the edge of the defense, and then directing traffic downfield to his receivers, and they just started taking shots downfield over the top. And the one area that this Titans defense could be had was in the back end. Their secondary continues to be a work in progress, and I thought Zach Wilson did a good job of taking advantage of that late in the third going into the fourth quarter. Now, did he get away with some throws? Sure he did. He tried to go to Jamison Crowder on the out route one too many times, and it was a ball that Christian Fulton should have picked off, but he wasn't looking for it. But, I mean, you know, the kid played pretty well in that second half and on into overtime. I still think that play calling at the end of the fourth quarter leaves a little something to be desired. I don't know if I would have dialed up as many pass plays as they did. Maybe we'd try to think about running out more of the clock with some run plays, a little ground and pound. But the biggest takeaway for me in that game was on the defensive side of the ball, because time of possession was one-sided for the first three quarters, and that Jets defense, especially the defensive front, kept scrapping and scraping, knocking the Titans offense out of field goal range, knocking them out of the red zone, forcing them to settle for three as opposed to scoring touchdowns. And I thought them being able to keep that game close and being as disruptive as they were in the pass rush is what made the difference in that. Also, got to give credit to the Jets' young secondary. They were down Marcus May, played a lot of man coverage yesterday, and they held up quite nicely, Bryce Hall and company. Like, I thought they really did a good job on the back end. All in all, a great effort on the defensive side of the ball. That was a good team defense win for the Jets yesterday. So that's why I got to be a little more optimistic than you two guys. I mean, they ran into a win. Were there mistakes? Absolutely. But as Zach Wilson said in the post-game press conference, the best way to learn from your mistakes is if you're able to come away with the game with a win in the process. So, I mean, you feel good for Zach Wilson being able to get his first win, and now you're just hoping that this is the beginning of this team being able to build something sustainable for the future.
Yeah, man, you think about Michael Carter, you think about Bryce Hall, you know, what they're able to do, just being so young but so competitive. And these guys, the moment's not too big for them. You know, but, you know, really what I loved about it is really the pass rush, being able to get seven sacks yesterday. And really, I mean, I know Quentin Williams is going to get a lot of the credit, but we know who set the table. Sheldon Rankins and what he's able to do and getting that one-gap penetrator, taking two guys, and guys are playing off him as he's missing the sacks. Guys are coming up and getting those easy sacks. I know you hate when that happens, Chris.
Bart, Quincy Williams too, man. Quincy Williams flying around. He was everywhere yesterday. Yeah. I mean, you got to give him some credit.
No, he's a little dude too, man. For him to keep standing on that track continuously and bringing it to Derrick Henry, you know, that's not easy to do. You saw he started to get loose a little bit in the second half. But all in all, they really stopped the explosive play. They got to start. I mean, they're going to see screen galore. They're going to see middle screen. They're going to see outside screen, receiver screen.
That was embarrassing.
I'm like, come on, man. Like, where's your antenna? And sometimes guys were trying to get sacks. Huff was going underneath trying to be an eye guy. And that's some stuff they had to clean up. But all in all, you got to love and appreciate the scrap. But this is what I'm concerned with. Like, all of the successful plays for the most part, whether it was him dropping the ball and then getting up and, you know, having to be instinctive and not really having to go through the process, all his throws were off-schedule throws. So I'm trying to figure out how do they manufacture the off-schedule throws, like getting them rolled out. They have to start, you know, instead of booting out and letting the defensive end go, they got to start testing for that defensive end and then allowing him to show his arm off, because it's happened by accident too many times, right? The throw to Davis week one was off-schedule, right? Mm-hmm. All to his right, rolling to his right, and he's accurate. He's able to get it where places where most quarterbacks can't get it there. They have to find a way to design it that way and keep a guy to secure the edge for him and not sprint out passes, pure rollouts. And I just don't know if they've done that. They may have lucked into something, but they need to start making it a habit, because he's not throwing the ball on time. Even the pass to Crowder was inside and late. Crowder was open a lot earlier than that. They got to figure out how to get this guy to process, because right now he's processing like a Commodore 64.
Now, are you talking about the throw on the sprint out on the 3-yard line and that goal-to-goal situation?
Yeah.
He was a little late on that throw.
It was more
inside, but guess what? The kid has got a howitzer attached to his shoulder, man.
I mean, the
velocity on that throw, I mean, it whizzed by the cornerback's head. Like, he didn't even have time to react, and the ball just stuck to Jamison Crowder. Like, that's one of those where his talent allowed him to overcome a little bit of inaccuracy in that situation. But that's the beauty in, you know, Zach Wilson, and that's why you draft him with the second overall pick, right? Because he has the capability of being able to overcome some of those things that come along with the learning curve of playing quarterback at this level. Like, he can still find ways to have success. Now, to your point about trying to find more structured opportunities for him to move the football in the passing game, I think the Jets are going to start using some of that bootleg action out of the outside, inside zone running scheme. If they can get the ground game going, that's going to create opportunities for Zach Wilson to be able to get outside of the pocket and not have to worry about the defenders at the end of the line of scrimmage, because those guys are closing down to try to defend the run game. So I think those opportunities are coming. They just got to be able to find a way to get more mileage out of their ground game. But yesterday, Jets fans should be really excited, because their quarterback showed a lot of promise in being able to push the ball down the field and just consistently being able to do that and showing the confidence to have, you know, the moxie to kind of, you know, take broken plays and essentially turn them into positives. Like, that's a good thing. That's a good sign. That shows you that the first 3 weeks of the season hasn't affected the psyche and the confidence of your young quarterback. So I think yesterday is a win. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't perfect. But it's still a win, and it's something that Rob Saleh can build off of.
Yeah, it is certainly. And again, for him, his first win as a head coach, the day he said he'd been waiting for to give out game balls after a win like that. And, you know, the missed field goal led to it, and that's okay. Like, again, it's
Corey
okay.
Corey Davis they can't catch, it. Too. They need to figure that out.
There's so many more frustrating things to get to, Chris, but we got to let you go here. I know you got your show coming up, so thanks so much for the time. As always, we'll talk with you next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Hopefully we can talk about Giants and the Jets having another win and the Yankees being in the division series, too.
Let's get there. By the way,
tell Butch I said what's up, too.
Savage. You're a savage, man.
Mike Gaffney, Chris, on Twitter said, whenever I say, Alexa, play classic hip-hop, I'm not asking for 90s. However, the playlist will usually start with Wu-Tang. So Alexa seems to agree with Chris Canty and Bart Scott. I guess it's the best way to put it. Whatever Alexa says, we have to.
Shoo-doo-doo-ah.
You're the worst. Both of you. Both of you are the worst. All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right, later on, guys.
Chris Canty giving us that straight talk. By the way, straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise. I had to laugh because I didn't even get the explanation. Chris is like, no, you're wrong. I'm like, damn. And I guess apparently everybody else on Twitter is telling me I'm wrong as well. Yeah, but I'm not wrong about – and you and I both feel this way. On the Giants side of things, you have been saying it from the beginning with Daniel Jones and his potential. And clearly that potential is showing. It really is. Yeah. And, you know, even Chris couldn't really answer it. You know, he could be right now their best player. Saquon might have all that talent, but Daniel Jones is showing you how just damn important he is to that team offensively. I mean, and they go as he goes.
His ability to stretch. I don't agree with people saying that his arm talent isn't elite. He has a good arm. Like, he doesn't have like
the
a
throw
Drew
to
Brees.
Ross was yeah. an he absolute have, bomb.
He don't have a Drew Brees arm. I think they're selling the kid short. Like, he doesn't have like a – his arm is way stronger than Sam Darnold's. Like, and Sam Darnold doesn't have a strong arm, but listen.
He doesn't go downfield as much, but yeah, Daniel Jones can throw it downfield if he needs to.
Slayton, what about – he made his first 2 years. Yeah, Slayton. Just,
I know. No. He and Zach Wilson is two guys. They both can have exciting. They can both really be exciting quarterbacks for the future in New York. But I do want to. Who was it that said? Was it Rex Ryan? Did Rex Ryan say that's his son.
Well, that's his son.
No, 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 not about Daniel Jones. Oh, okay. He said Zach Wilson is the most talented quarterback the Jets have had since Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Are we forgetting Ken O'Brien? Guy had arm talent, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Look at his numbers. O'Brien put up numbers. They just never could, like they had good seasons, but there was injuries. There's always something in that era.
Danny Dimes got a 98 rating right now. He's thrown already in four games. He's thrown He's throwing for 1,100 yards.
Listen, I'm telling you.
So he's on pace.
You've been right about him from the start. You were wrong about the Steelers, but you've been right about him.
How many yards he got rushing right now, man? This dude.
Yeah. All right, you look that up. But first, again, we got your calls coming up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on what you've seen out of both the Giants and the Jets in week four. What do you believe in, and what are you saying, no, I'm not buying that, not yet? Also, you talk about believing. I've kind of gone all over the place when it comes to the Yankees. And you know what? Because they've been all over the place. What do we trust in them as now? It's Yankees Red Sox for the wild card, for the right to move on to the ALDS and play the Rays. We will discuss that, your calls. But first, Bart has this from Zip Recruiter.
How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, Zip Recruiter invites you to apply and let you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisitions of My Doula Health, raves all about ZipRecruiter invite to apply. She says, love that feature because we have much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates. Go to ZipRecruiter.com, B-A-R-T, to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. Doe, back after this, your calls. We miss you. We need you. Call in.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
You are wrong for this.
Yourself said hello, and I said hi.
That's Shy from the 90s. Do it, do it. See, I hate everybody.
In physical attraction, much to my satisfaction, you're more than just a friend. And if I ever fall
in love
again,
I will
be sure. Yeah, Alan.
Come on.
Ooh, Alan had that bouquet ready for it at the dance.
Barton, huh?
Alan had that bouquet ready for it, baby.
Hey, listen. You better have some. You better be able to sing.
And you walk up to the house like, yeah, I'm here to take out Julie. Like, how old are you? Did you ever get done with the Bad Boys? Because you kind of tall, right? So you showing up like, hold up, man. How old are you? 14. Yeah, you at least 20. Let me see some identification.
I was always welcome in the living room, though. I was polite.
But you're tall,
man.
I
never dated a Julia, though. I don't know why you would make that.
No Julia?
No, did not.
People say I always say Keisha, so I was like, let me think of a name other than Keisha. They're like, man, what did Keisha do to you, Bart? You always say Keisha.
It's always Keisha when you refer to a female. It's Bart on, if you haven't noticed, brought to you by Goodyear Making the plays that move you forward, Goodyear, more driven. I want to get a ruling here. We're going to get to the calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, so we'll get them loaded up. But, all right, so I posted this morning on Twitter a play yesterday as the Yankees, you know, again, had to win. And they get their 1-0 win, a walk-off single, fielder's choice, really, by Aaron Judge, right? 1-0. I mean, the Rays just took them. I mean, you're talking about a painstaking series where the Rays just mocked them the whole way. All right, fine, here, take your win. We'll see you in the ALDS so we can sweep the floor up with you. Like, you could see the attitude that the Rays had in this series. Oh, my God.
They got arrogant.
I can't stand that team. So, anyways, but in the sixth inning, Gio Urshela made an unbelievable, ran 125 feet to get to this pop foul.
Yeah.
And he's doing it now, this Jeter-esque kind of play. You remember the Jeter play where he dives,
had a little scar
for the
on
foul
his
ball,
eyeball,
and he gets all beat up, right?
Yeah, overreact.
Legendary play by Derek Jeter. So Urshela does similar, but he instead tumbles into the Rays dugout. Does anyone try to catch him? Of course not. They all get out of the way.
I'd have put my spikes up.
So he, right? You would have too. You'd go in there. Look, you'd go in like Bruce Leroy. Hey,
you,
foot.
Hey, yeah, yo, you ran. He ran into my foot. I ain't moved nowhere. My foot was already out.
So anyway, so he tumbles, and it's a scary fall. He makes the catch. Umpire Angel Hernandez then tries to do like in hockey, like where you jump over the boards. He flies into the dugout too. It was mass hysteria. So he makes the catch, but he clearly, you know, it was a painful play. So all I said was I put the video up from ESPN.com. And I said, did I say ESPN.com? ESPN.com. And I just said simply, show me a play from Sunday in any sport grittier than this one. And then the Yankee hashtag is squat up. So I hashtagged it, right? Put it up because it's really impressive. And this was an all-out play. I'm getting this out, and I don't care what happens to me. So one person replied to me this, Robert, who said, last week you checked out on this team. Now you're squad up. What a phony.
Ooh.
Now, Bart,
you explain what you
and I want everybody to tell me this, at Bart and Hunt. I want a ruling on this because I feel like I'm honest about how I feel. This team is mercurial, and so are my feelings, right? I was hot and cold with this team just like they were hot and cold with us. I think that's the opposite of phony, don't you? I mean, I'm allowed to be skeptical of a team while also appreciating a play like this, which is a tough play.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to be critical and yet also still care. If I'm not critical, then I don't care. When I say I'm checked out, do you really think I actually checked out? Of course not. I'm just saying it because I'm mad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done with you. Like, when I say to you, I'm done with you, I'm not really done with you. So, like, am I a phony fan because this season, this team has been so maddening to me that there are times where I'm like, I'm done. I don't even want to deal with this. They're so frustrating. But yet I do appreciate them as well.
You got that in a lot of your sports. You got that with your Knicks. You got that with your Jets. You check in, Mike, and out a lot.
I really have issues.
You got a lot of scar tissue, son.
Well, the Yankees used to be that one team that gave me reason.
Poke your checks out.
Like, at least I could feel good. And now them this year. Honestly, if you ask me how do I really feel, I feel like if they get past the Red Sox, which they could and should,
yeah.
Do I have any confidence against the Rays after what I saw this weekend? The Rays had nothing to play for, and they still smacked you around, mocked you.
But be careful what you wish for, because they should have tried to get him out of there. Because, listen, you don't – sometimes you let sleeping dogs lie. You don't poke the bear. And listen, we know what the – anybody can get hot. And with as hot as Stanton and Judge has been, all it takes is, you know, hitting the sweet spot a couple of times and you can be in trouble. So if I was the Rays, I would have got him up out of there.
You think so? So you feel like that
I'm looking
they,
at the
well,
play.
They certainly were trying. It wasn't like there was no lack of trying.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, they got the hit in the bottom of the ninth, the walk off, and that's what got it done. But, you know, I got a little frustrated with that, I got to admit. I did get a little frustrated with that. But still, they're there and it's the game. Tomorrow night. It's no Chris Sale. He had to pitch on Sunday for the Red Sox to help them get in and overcome what he gave them a 5-1 deficit. They still get over the top. But Gerrit Cole is available for the Yankees Tuesday night, wild card game at Fenway. Yes, shades of 1978 and Bucky Dent. And Nathan Eovaldi, the former Yankee, as well on the mound for the Red Sox. So that's what you have. And for Aaron Judge, you're playing for this. You're playing for your season once again to stay alive and get into the actual postseason, the actual playoffs, which is, of course, the division series. Aaron Judge, looking forward to facing Boston.
That's going to be a fun game right there. You know, it's going to be action-packed. You know, they're going to bring their A game. We're going to bring our A game. It's just going to be another great, you know, go down as another great game. And, you know, this big rivalry we have. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. You know, we'd love to play at home, you know, especially that wild card game. But, you know, we were excited anywhere we went. And, you know, getting a chance to go to Boston and play it, it's going to be, you know, exciting matchup for sure.
Oh, by the way, can we, something that we started the season, you and I, started the baseball season, and you did say something to me, I don't know if it was a bet or if it was just a statement, about Pete Alonso and Aaron Judge.
Ah, man.
No,
Pete Alonso said something.
I'm just saying. Yeah, he did say something.
Yeah, I still stand there.
Pete Alonso is better than Aaron Judge.
Anybody can stay healthy 1 year. Especially one when it's time to get the money.
Yeah, and when he does stay healthy, how good is he?
We see that all the time.
But when he does stay healthy, how good is he?
One of the best in the business.
Does he help his team win?
The problem is he going to be healthy more years than he's not? He's Anthony Davis.
Oh.
Yeah, you hope that he'll be healthy 1 year, you'll win something, and then the next year he's down two when you need him the most. I need to be able to depend on somebody if I'm going to give him $35 million a year.
Well, that's the next thing, obviously, once this we do get into the
offseason. Peter Lonzo, he's going to be in the lineup no matter what.
Yeah? And is this team going to win with his production?
When they start spending like the Yankees do.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, next year when they start spending like the Yankees
do.
You
tell me that?
They in phase one of the takeover.
You are in such denial. Phase one of the takeover?
Let me tell you something.
How long is phase one? 20 years?
2 years. Cohen's on the team for how long? You told me this was the reset year. Now he's going to go out. He's going to get Theo Epstein. He's going to get somebody. I don't care who he get. He's going to get
Theo Epstein from what I'm hearing.
Okay. Billy Bing. Billy Bing. Bing, Bing, Bing.
You remember what Buster Olney said?
Hey, listen.
Billy Bing.
Listen.
Told
yeah.
friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People have said no.
Yeah, yeah. Put your hand out, Billy Bing. You tell me when to stop. Billy Bing arm going to be sitting there shaking. Like, ah.
When is it going to rain?
I say, when it's going to stop.
When it's going to stop. Oh, my God.
Cohen might give him a straight up gold bar. Like, here, I'm going to give you a gold bar, and I'm going to give you a 15 karat rare blue diamond. Here you go. Now get out of my face. I'll see you tomorrow. Okay.
I'll tell you what, though. I am looking forward to this matchup. Yankees Red Sox, you know, it's a classic. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. ESPN has the coverage.
I want somebody to get hit so bad.
Well, what you want it to be, though, is you want it to have that feel. Yes. You know, that Yankee Red Sox.
It ain't been beef. Like, it ain't been beef lately. Nah. I need Cora to do something, man. Bring it back.
Be a little bit of beef, a little edge.
Yeah.
Well, how about
hit Judge in the ass?
Remember when Judge played New York, New York? Sinatra's New York, New York?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it, 2018? What year was that?
Yeah, long time playoffs? Ago. Yeah, that was in the last decade.
And then, of course, they played that on the way out to winning a championship. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's what you've got there. And on the other side, of course, in the National League game, that is on Wednesday, Dodgers and Cardinals, another classic battle of classic franchises.
Nobody wants Cardinals to play the Cardinals.
No, they were red hot going in. The Dodgers, though, obviously supposed to be the team to beat, and the Giants having a historic season that they also will await the winner of that, and Tampa will await the winner of Yankees-Red Sox. So, baseball playoffs begin this week. The NFL continues. The NBA preseason, Bart Scott, underway. NHL season about to get underway.
Ooh, you about to get busy.
Man, yes, sir. It's going to be a busy week.
Yeah, and of course, about the game, but I was the busy one. Now you about to get busy.
You and I both. A lot of dinners for you and I upcoming here in the city. Meanwhile, coming up next, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your Overreaction Monday calls. And whether or not I'm wrong about my fandom, am I a phony or am I just being real? We will discuss with you before the Michael Kay Show in New York at the top of the hour, talking all that Yankees, Red Sox, and everything you saw this weekend. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
My name is Hove.
Why did you sound like Cypress Hill?
Insane in the brain.
When you did that. Oh, man. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any part of the show, Chris Candy was on and it got crazy. I mean, he definitely puts up with us. But you get excited when Chris Candy comes on the show. Like, your energy level goes through the roof. So it's a great segment. If you missed it, you can catch it on the podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, just put in Barton Hahn, subscribe. You won't miss a thing.
He's so buttoned up, man. I just like to just poke him and just grab the
stairwell.
You're
that guy. Whenever we have players on, current and former, it's like you bring them into the locker room, and we get that sense of what the locker room was like, especially with you in it.
Like, man, take the towel, man. What the hell are you doing? Come on in. Take the towel.
Oh, by the way, have you seen the news here? So Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, all down. I don't know if anything's come back yet, but it's been down since late morning, having some issues.
Ooh, these whippersnappers don't know what to do.
Don't know what's
going
on.
Ooh, them fans only page. People losing money by the minute.
But I'll tell you, I don't know if that's part of it. But the good news is, of course, is that now you don't have to worry about getting some crazy political memes from your uncle.
Yeah.
You know, for now.
Well,
there's always that. Are you on hold?
Huh?
You're on hold right now. That's how long you've been on hold. Whatever you're waiting for, it's clearly you're like, I think I'm picking up for another 10 minutes at least. All right, let's grab some calls. Let's go to Adam in Virginia. Come on, Adam.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Daniel Jones, Overreaction Monday, is definitely the best player on the New York Giants right now. And, like, look, he started out his career with an 18-point comeback against the Bucs, right? Last year, he had 3 out of the top 5 fastest runs in the NFL last year, over 20 miles an hour, faster than Lamar Jackson, right? Last year, also, most accurate passer in the league downfield, man, passes over 20 yards. I think if we get Jason Garrett out of the way, let the guy throw, get the offensive line fixed, I think Daniel Jones can be absolutely amazing.
But this is a big if, and this is the crazy part, right? The Giants are going to have the same decision that the Jets had last year when you talk about being able to decide if they want to pick up the option of Daniel Jones, especially if the Chicago Bears have a bad season. They could have a top pick.
It depends on.
But they have the two first-round draft picks.
But they're definitely going to have two first. Now, where are they, though, if neither – you know, again, where the Bears are right now, although, you know, we'll see where the season goes for them.
Defensively, they have more than enough talent to be successful, right?
The Giants, you're saying.
The Giants. So, like, if you got two first-round draft picks, what can you do to improve that offensive side of the ball? I mean, it's curious. Do you pay Saquon Barkley?
Much do you add to this team? They have weapons. What are they missing? Line has been the issue for
them.
Right,
you got
to keep working on it until you get it right.
Well, you would think with two first-round draft picks and the ability to go maybe get somebody in free agency, but if you have that, you know, also the pass rusher coming out, because some teams might say, if you have your quarterback, we'll give you, because we believe in the kid from Liberty, we believe in the kid from Cincinnati, and what if you end up with the kid from Oregon, and now you got another dominant pass rusher, that generational talent, so you missed out on Chase Young, but you get his clone a couple of years later. Gettleman's been lucky that way.
Yeah, speaking of Chicago, we've got Ryan in Chicago. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Nagy needs to go. Not only is his play calling horrible, but his press conferences make no sense.
Ryan,
he literally talks for 4 minutes for a 2-second question.
Yeah, I tell you what, Ryan, thanks for the call. Somebody needs to advise him better, because his press conferences have been awful. And if that's how he is in front of the media, how's he in front of players, Bart?
I don't know, man. Maybe he's not smart enough to kind of like be able to play that game. It's an art to be.
You
got to
give this guy a script.
Yeah, you can
before he goes out on that podium. You got to give him a script.
You can be like Bill Belichick or Brian Billick. All right, Bill Belichick makes you uncomfortable. Brian Billick talks so damn long you forget what you asked him. Like, it's either one or the two.
There's something like that. By the way, got a tweet from Brooklyn Boy Views. Yankees were second in payroll. Mets were third. Spending excuse not valid.
But it takes a couple years. It takes a couple years of spinning.
You lose.
Just spin next
Scott.
Year. Yeah. I mean, okay. You better get past
tomorrow.
The wild card.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.